Titaprajna.
Yeah, so the English word equilibrium comes from dynamical considerations.
Amma TV aapali.
Dynamical consideration means forces, movement, change, which is measurable. Now, the sthitaprajna is a word used for the quality in the man, for a man, which is necessary, defined as being unaffected by changes, like what you like, what you don't like, you don't respond to them, and be quiet. Now, question is, we cannot accept everything because there are likes and dislikes. And where is the boundary at which it becomes desirable and undesirable? So, sthitaprajna means probably being unaffected by extremities, which is beyond our control, and cope up with it.
Is nishkama karma a prerequisite for sthitaprajna?
Nishkama karma is one variable in the nature of action. That is, actions generally are motivated by some purpose. Some purposes are essential for maintenance of the body, maintenance of health, and to provide requirement for children. And these are all essentials of life. Without that, there is no life. But then, nishkama karma means special endeavor devoted to achieve a particular target, like anything is defined in the Vedas.
Now the question is nishkama karma a prerequisite for sthitaprajna?
Nishkama karma is necessary for a goal called moksha, but sthitaprajna is a stability for changes going on in daily life, beyond our control. So, nishkama karma is choice of karma for purpose. Prajna is stability for all variations in the experience, stability. That means, stability means your knowledge must not be disturbed, your patience must not be disturbed, your intelligence must not be disturbed, you should not become angry, you should not have any kind of erroneous responses coming from these extremities. That is a stability, no doubt.
Does sthitaprajna include not having negative emotions, or does it also include not having positive emotions?
These requirements of acceptable receptors is different heading. Here, the nature of response to the impulse, that is the nishkama karma, response to impulse.
So, is being unresponsive the right metaphor, or being a balanced response is the right metaphor? The question is, sthitaprajna, does it preclude positive reactions? We know that it will mean you should control negative reactions, but how about positive reactions?
Sure, you are sensitive to desirable attributes. You are not insensitive to that. Desirable cannot be compromised. That is every. You should avoid. What should accept? These are not in doubt. Sthitaprajna is stability. It is nearly equilibrium. I think I have got another kind of acronym. The SSS, stability, selectivity, and
sensitive.
So, you must be sensitive, you must be stable, and you must be selective. So, these are the three S which defines define.
So interestingly, the three S's also stand for Saket, Samik, and Sahaja. So, which S corresponds to which S?
That is a good example. That is that we wish that is true. These are psychological problems. there are the problem of individuals with all their background of requirements, achievements, success, failures.
So what are the three S's? Stability, sensitivity, and selective. So let us attribute selective to Saket, stable to Samik, and sensitive to Sahaja. Would you agree with that?
Well, this is one option. There is no logical reason to justify or interesting. But when it comes to real life, the decisions are not easy. To sensitive, we are not sensitive equally to all things. And selectivity is also confusing. Sometimes you are compromising here and there. Stability is another variable depending on your health, your receptivity, your age, and so on, so many things. But it is necessary to have knowledge of these things and then have that qualities in you in a working condition. It's not enough to know, and that is, but they must be part of your whole structure, psychological structure, to withstand all these things. When the child is very obstinate, to have patience is a necessity. You can't be impatient for the child, as a child. So sometimes it will be beyond our capacity. So we fail also. So
the child is a good example. So coming back to Sthita Prajna, we agree Sthita Prajna does not mean being unresponsive. Yes?
Sure. You must be sensitive.
Okay, so you have to be responsive. So talk about the child. If the child is being cranky, you have to be patient. So that's a stable response. But if the child brings home some exciting activity, can you be very happy with the child and ecstatic? Is that Sthita Prajna or is that overreacting to the joy?
See, child rearing is itself an art.
We're not talking about child rearing. We're talking about reacting to a child. We're talking about our reactions to the child's experiences. If the child is cranky, we agree that Sthita Prajna means do not be impatient, okay. But if the child is excited about something and comes home and says, Amma, look, nenidi chesano. So do you have to react ecstatically to that or do you have to react in a aloof manner?
Sure. When child has something to be happy about, surely must encourage, provided it is not a deleterious in the long run. See, so every positive response to the child is a asset for him. And when it comes to habit and indulgence beyond some limits, then some kind of caution should be given, so it become not become a kind of the unnecessary deviation from other goals. Over indulgence is also not desirable for an individual. Approval, sure, but then in a limit, to the extent of leaving everything else. Addiction is not a virtue.
So then do you characterize the three facets of stability, selectivity, and sensitivity as the underpinnings of developing Sthita Prajna?
Exactly. These are the qualities for every individual. The ideal individual is then all these are adequate for all times. Stability, selectivity, and sensitivity. This is a wonderful combination of variables. Sthita Prajna maybe can approximate to this kind of attributes. But in the sense that they should not be changing from day to day. They should be available at all conditions, which is a questionable question, difficult answer.
But we are always being told Arshadvargas. So Arshadvargas are the ones we have to control. Now you have a different dimension. You don't talk about Arshadvargas, but you talk about stability, selectivity, and sensitivity. So does that encompass Arshadvargas, or is it another aspect of looking at the same phenomenon?
See, Arshadvargas are the variables which should be understood and avoided. They are detrimental. They are not all necessary assets. They are at least the impediments to this goal of sensitivity, stability, and selectivity. Arshadvargas exhaust resources, and do not use resource properly, they are extremely deleterious. They should never be part of life. They should be minimized to the point to zero. Arishad Vargas must be avoided entirely. There is no compromise on that.
No, however, there is some aspects of krodha. You may be angry about some wrongdoing somebody has done. That anger may be not a bad thing.
Anger is a one response. But at what point it becomes anger deleterious? It is, if it takes away your logic, capacity to control, and overdoing it, anger is disastrous. It will be the source of trouble to everybody. So anger is not a, anger means something which you have to avoid and then some support. Anger is a way of saying no. But the response in the way, when it's no, it depends on the conditions. So anger is, insulting is, to be insulted is, can this anger, but that should not be the kind of behavior to get revenge.
Okay, kama is desire?
Yeah.
Okay, is kama any kind of desire or is it just a physical desire and bodily desire?
Kama is a big word. Actually, kama is not understood properly.
I know you said that. It is kaka gaga, ka cha ta ta. That kama also you said. But in this Arshad Varga context, kama is what form of desire? Is it worldly desire, materialistic desire, physical desire? What desire?
See, there is a statement in Bhagavad Gita, dharma, I am kama, which is in conformity with dharma. So there is a desire in the dharma period, a desire in another dharma. What is told to be avoided is adharma and dharma, kama and adharma. That is what the criterion cannot kama. Kama is there. In the case, there is a Brahma kamayata and vadundi. He wanted creation. So kama addresses is highly delivered. And kama kalavilasa is a great book. So kama itself is not a deleterious word, that kama is a desire for good things and implementing.
So does it mean kama by itself, if you are selective about what you are having the desire for, is a good thing, but desires for destructive things, that's where you are not being selective, is a problem? Is that how you interpret it?
Yeah, that is how the asuras and devas this distinguish. Asuras also have kama, devas have kama, it is the same thing. So that is how you determine the quality of individual.
But you had another explanation for kama where you said Saraswati Devi, there is Agadhanloka Pajya undi, and you attributed the kama there stands for ka, ka, ga, gha, and then all the way to ma. So can you elaborate on that again?
Yeah, that's true. That is a thing I want everybody to know. శ్రీ సరస్వతి నమస్తుభ్యం వరదే కామరూపిణి విద్యారంభం కరిష్యామి సిద్ధిర్భవతి మీ సదా వేర్ ఇస్ ది మీ డౌట్ ఇన్ ద కామ దేర్ సీ హీస్ కామరూపిణి కామరూపిణి అంటే అది డిజైర్ అండి నాకు అర్థం అక్కడ నో డౌట్ హియర్ విద్యారంభం కరిష్యామి విద్యా ఇస్ వర్డ్స్ సిలబుల్స్ ఈజ్ హైలీ సే దేర్ నో డౌట్ అబౌట్ దిస్
No. I think the commonplace understanding Apajanlo, Saraswati, Namastudyam, Varade, Kama Rupini is desire. I think your interpretation of Kama is different. I don't think other people have understood it like that.
True. Yes, that's what I'm saying. We have not understood what Kama is. That's why we should say.
So can you elaborate your interpretation of Kama in that sloka?
Yeah. See, Saraswati is learning. We start learning. Learning comes from alphabets. There is a basic sentence. What says? For example, matra varna swaraha matra balam. Ani varna swaraha ante varnas means these vowels and consonants. They're articulated swara. So if you articulate that sound, becomes the beginning of knowledge. So I o a and the ka ka ga 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 cha 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 na ta ta da da na ta ta da na ma ta ta da da na pa 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 ra ma ya ra la va sa 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 these are all syllables. which constitute the whole literature, including Vedas. So the child is now given this beginning so that he will grow. There is no upper limit. And then it can be, you can be as big as this. What is the, who is the present deity? Saraswati, present deity of knowledge. So I am learning. Please give me knowledge and success.
No, I think you missed the point about where kama comes. Kama comes from kakagagana, kacha, tata, papa, papa, ma. So it's from ka to ma. That's the way you had interpreted it once.
You see, all words are composed for explanation of certain context. Desire is one way kama is used. And it is depending on qualities. The Rishad Vargas are desirable. Here, the attention is being drawn to the sentence which is primary to child. The meaning can only be syllables, not syllables for learning desires, achieving desires is the next goal. At the fundamental level, most fundamental level, we must give this meaning to child. He doesn't understand what kama means at all. As adults, we understand kama has different meanings, and the meaning we should take is the syllables. And that we always sanctify our language at deities, and Saraswati, deity of syllables. That is the idea. And the people may not know, this is written in places, but here and there you see that kama is given a proper meaning in Kama Kala Vilasa, a book, extremely valuable book. You should never misinterpret as the eulogy of undesirable kind of desires. The supreme creation is a kala and is desire of God that manifests the whole universe. And there are principles explaining that. Where is that lofty picture? Where the human being is the car of an animal in this world. So there are no relations at all. We should keep separate meanings and understand the meaning in the context. A kama is such a word, a very great word, must be understood very carefully. So undesirable then exist, but desirables are infinite, many there. What is a prajnana, prajna brahma? Sthita prajna is stability, is a kind of equilibrium in all conditions.
So you believe, going back to the start of the discussion, there is not exactly an equivalent word in Sanskrit or Telugu for equilibrium? Is that what you started to say?
No. This you can always find. This is nearest equilibrium. There is nothing exact. Something like equilibrium. Equilibrium of a non-linear system. This is the equilibrium of non-linear system. Huge complex. A growing individual must be in equilibrium everywhere. Equilibrium at boy, middle age, old age, and sickness, and all those things. So here, prajna, the siddha prajna is to be in equilibrium in all conditions. But even to understand there is something called equilibrium is itself a knowledge. And implementing is second thing. That we don't succeed is not surprising. It's not difficult, not easy.
So there is inputs from your environment, external world around you, and there are your reactions. Yeah. Some reactions are only in your mind, and some reactions are those that get manifested when you act in response to that input. So the question is it okay to even have just the mental reaction when you are thinking about the input and we are thinking about how you would want to respond to it without manifesting the actual response into a physical act of either a word or an action? So are those mental reactions where you are filtering the inputs acceptable, or even that is not acceptable for a sthita prajna situation?
All knowledge is intended for application. There is no knowledge without application. See, So all knowledge must be implemented 100%. There is no doubt about it. Only that man is called a Pandit or seer or Rishi. So here there is no doubt. It is all for practical side. It's not that
No, I'm sorry. I may not have expressed the question clearly. There are inputs from your ambient environment, and then you react to those inputs. So if your reactions are of the Arshadvarga types, maybe that's condoned because it's deleterious. So we understand that. But sometimes you're only filtering the input in your head. You analyze the input and you say, okay, I may react like this, I may react like that, and then you do your selectivity process in your head. Is that aspect of doing the selectivity process in your head before you manifest your reaction acceptable, or even that is not acceptable?
Whatever is understood correctly must be implemented. There is no doubt about it. So there is no separation between inside and outside actions, and thought must be contiguous. There is no doubt about it. It's a practical wisdom. Wisdom is practical thing, real thing, not theoretical only. Definitely, every act must be contiguous with thought. There is no doubt about it. That is, Trikarana Shuddhi is necessity, essentially recommended, not wanted. Without Trikarana Shuddhi, the knowledge is not complete, life is not complete. There is no doubt about it. It must be implemented. According to the understanding, the actions also must be consonance with it. There is no doubt about it. Fine. I don't know also the man, but I think equilibrium is a, yes, Sitapragna is one word nearest to this kind of thing, and it fits into the definitions given by elders. One of the Sitapragna, Sitapragna. Prajnana is the standard word. When it is actually becomes a central element in thinking, that is called Sthita Prajna for the individual.
Can you parse the word Sthita Prajna into its components and explain how the whole word structure was formed?
Sthita is a state. Sthita. And state, steady state. Steady Sthita. Prajna is a prajna, discriminated knowledge. It is firm. Firm in thought and action also.
So sthita is state. What does prajna mean?
Prajna is the with discrimination. Sthita is the state of the mind, individual, with that kind of quality. Arjuna asks the question, who is sthita prajna? Krishna gives all reasons. Then no doubt about it. Sthita ante, it is there, it will be available in the mind, action everywhere, continuously, all times, everywhere. So sthita is the state of individual. He is a sthita prajna. Prajnanam Brahma is an abstract word. A man individual with this, that is called sthita prajna. So it is located, example exists where in the individual, how he responds to the universe. Yes, sthita prajna is the quality of an individual. Definition of prajna, sthita can be combined into this, the state of an individual. An individual manifests these qualities as a exemplary qualities. So there is no doubt about it. Good.
There you have it. Thus spake Pandan Garu, thus spake Dr. Murthy. Today is Saturday, 24th September 2016. The topic of the discussion was about sthita prajna. What does it imply? And Pandan Garu has a theory, Nana has a theory about three other attributes called selective, stable, and sensitive. And we also discussed a little bit on the origin of the word sthita prajna. And Kama is about the one of the terms that comes, Saraswati Devi slokan lostundi. But as you have it, the particular question was asked on filtering external inputs and whether it's okay to do the selectivity in the brain. But thus spake Pandan Garu never answered that question. So on that thought, we end the recording session for the day. Thank you.
Moment. Amma. And so
thank you very much. We will continue another day.